Demon 140
or something. Is it 125 or something like that? 100, no, 1,040, 1,020 something.
Oh, right. horsepower. But
170.
170. Yeah, that's like the engine code for the elephant crate engine or something.
Okay. Oh.
So that's why they're calling it that.
1,025 horsepower.
Ah, okay. Yeah, the helicopter released it.
Yeah,
which made no sense, and they like picked the color of the sky. Like, that was their unveiling at some event. Like, they just flew the thing around in a helicopter.
Yeah, I
saw
that
too. They flew the engine around?
No,
they flew the whole car around in the helicopter.
They picked it up. Oh, I didn't see that.
It was on a thing, like dangled from a helicopter. And it's like gray, just like the sky.
Did they ever drop it?
Because it already blew up?
I don't know. I didn't watch enough of that. I just saw someone doing that.
I saw photos of it on the ground, and I saw it was the gray color. And I'm like, really? Is that something like that? They're releasing it with like 15 colors, and you debut and.
Not a color.
Why don't you pick like the brightest color available? A color. Like a neon yellow. That would be good.
Yeah, cost no yellows.
$100,361.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
It's 1,000 horsepower. Like, I don't know.
I mean, it's only like $1 a horsepower.
What is 361?
It's not $1 horsepower.
Yeah, it's not a dollar. I'm math good.
I'm into that though. Let me get that.
Yeah.
Dude, if we had
that would make it $1,000, Will.
Yeah.
You can do something that makes $1 horsepower, you are in business.
Yeah. That would be sweet.
That would be sick. Not possible at all.
I mean, electric motors eventually.
For $1,000?
Not purchase price, no. Like, I don't think the technology is ever going to be cheap enough.
Yeah, it will.
By the time that happens, money's going to be worth nothing.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, if you take into account inflation,
yeah.
$1 is worth $10.
I mean, in today's money, but in 1,000 years in the future.
We're not going to have.
If I could just take my money now and go back in time with it.
Right?
You know?
It's like when you see these old ads for like the 68 whatever Mustang and it's like $3,000.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah, but I mean, even with inflation back then, I mean, I guess it was still the cost of, or what you would get paid was closer to the cost of the vehicle than it is now, I guess.
Not That's really. Why I'm going back with my money now.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the $3,000 Mustang was a $30,000 Mustang today, which is, you know, you can get.
Yeah. So. There was somebody talking recently, I think it was Denofa, about like $10,000 S550s. I'm like, where?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Where are you finding that?
Copart?
Yeah, Copart. Like, you can't beat it for like $10,000. I'm like, what are you talking about, $10,000?
I don't know.
I don't think you're finding any S550s.
Not for $10,000.
I don't know what to go for. I don't know anything about them. But
probably like 35 to 40, right?
Oh, I was starting to listen to the FD podcast thing that came out recently.
Is that the one they do on like Instagram too? They do like the, I don't remember what it's called.
Are we recording this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, I watched one of their YouTube podcast things. It was like kind of the dude going over rules, and then he talked to Denofa for a while. That was the other one.
Okay.
Right? The FD podcast thing?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Huh. Probably.
I thought you watched it.
Well, you said the guy talking about rules, and I saw something on YouTube about that, and I started to watch it, and I got immediately bored. And
I was happened to be doing something else, so that
it was not the same at all.
Okay, yeah, that's the same dude, though. I think
could have been. I was listening to one and I was watching the other, so
okay,
it's hard to tell.
Yeah,
that's why I said maybe.
I see.
Well, what welcome was the point to of this episode.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay,
because you can't get
what's the point of
Mustangs
this?
For $10,000.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, it would be cool if you actually could.
$550.
Well, S550 is just the chassis, right? So technically, you could get like a four-cylinder or V6, right. And it's still technically an S550, right?
Yeah, and I think there's still plenty of power for what it is. Like, a four-cylinder Mustang will probably
do some shit
in EcoBoost time.
It was pretty bad.
Got to do some stuff to it.
I'm sure.
But, I don't know. What year did those things start?
2015?
That would have been my guess, probably around then. Still, that's like a 7-8-year-old car. Well,
yeah, I think around then, 2014, 15.
I have no idea.
16. That would be even if it was a four-cylinder version.
2015 to 2023.
Yep.
Okay.
Came with the 2.3-liter EcoBoost.
Yeah.
A 3.7-liter Cyclone.
Is that an NA V6?
It's NA, yeah.
I believe so.
Yucca.
Yeah, gross. I'd rather have the four cylinder.
Yeah. Same, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to be sounding like a VQ or God, those EcoBoost trucks sound not good.
Oh man,
yeah. Don't they? Oh yeah.
Raptors also.
Didn't they bring back the cool V8 Raptor? Didn't they just do that?
Maybe. Probably. Is that
like the T-Rex or?
No, that's the Ram thing.
Oh yeah.
That's the
what are they? Raptor
something.
Oh, yeah. See. It also came with the Coyote V8, the Voodoo V8, and the GT350. Yeah. And GT350R, and then I came with the Predator V8 in the GT500.
Harbor Freight.
Hell yeah, brother.
All right.
Yeah.
Engine swaps for days.
The Voodoo V8's cool.
Yeah, well, I've heard about that here and there. I don't really know much about it, but
that's the flat plane crank.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Fella. It's the same, is it?
That's what Alec has. That blue one, I don't know if you've seen it at work.
I don't think so.
No. It's got long tubes and it's got the flat plane crank and it sounds pretty
good. Yeah, because that was the specific thing. Alex always talks about the flat plane crank and how it sounds. And I'm like, okay.
I mean, it sounds good.
So you like four cylinders, huh?
Yeah. It doesn't sound like a four cylinder. Got a
flat plane crank.
Well, yeah, Subarus have those.
That's true.
Do they?
Porches as well.
Mm. Just because you have horizontally opposed pistons.
It doesn't have to be flat plane.
Right.
No. It doesn't have to be. I think. No, I don't. Maybe it isn't.
I don't think it is.
I don't think it is either.
Comment and tell us if it is.
Yeah.
Or
I don't want to know enough about Subarus to know, but Porsches, I should. I could be interested in that.
Yeah. That's like my neighbor pulled up. I was standing out in the driveway the other day, and my neighbor pulled up in like her sister-in-law's Subaru, and they were like, "Hey," she was like, "Hey, I'm going to test drive this. What do you think about them?" And I was like, "I wouldn't buy one immediately." And she's sitting there in one, and I'm like, "I wouldn't touch it." She was like, "What?" And I was like, "Yeah, no, they're not good cars."
Both Subaru and Volkswagen Beetle air cooled are flat planes.
Okay, I can see the Beetle.
Beetles, air cooled Beetles sound good. I like that.
They don't sound good, but they're neat.
They don't. They sound like sewing machines.
Well, they're like bone stock, they sound like bubble machines. Oh, like there's like a whistly tip on the thing.
Do you remember seeing the old like drag ones where they did like the megaphone exhaust?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Some of those are loud.
Actually pretty fast and make like no power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they don't weigh anything. Yeah.
They're under, well under 2,000 pounds.
Under. Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. And they could do the fiberglass body stuff. And then they were doing the Turbsky things on them with like, you know, draw through carb scariness and awesome things. So I'd like to play with that someday.
Yeah. Wow. So back on this demon thing.
Yeah.
Unlocking the new demon's full fury requires E85 gasoline.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, it has a 91 tune on it also, which I think it said it still makes like 800 or so.
900,
yeah.
Yeah, so. I mean, I get it.
That's also, they also said that for that's on 91, like not even 93. I was like, really?
And you only get much more with the 85? Right?
I mean, shoot.
Well, I mean, you can turn it up more, but.
You probably don't have enough injector or something.
Man. Well, it's not like you're swapping pulleys. Like, you're running the same amount of boost.
Yeah,
didn't the original Hellcat come with that? Like it came with that crate or whatever that had all the garbage in it that you could swap.
That was a demon. Okay.
Did it have like pulley upgrades in there, or was it just like seats and tires and whatnot?
I thought it was tires and shit, but
I don't know. Now that I think about it, I'm thinking back to that Top Gear episode that they did on that, where he spent all day like swapping out all the stuff. I feel like they had to put like a different ECU.
Yeah.
In. Yeah, okay.
Because it's not like carbs or emission certified or something like that, so they had to change ECU. But, I don't know what else. I wanted to say maybe a pulley, but that does seem like a huge pain in the ass.
Yeah. I mean, I will
that's
say...
That's a pain in the dick.
Yeah.
Out of all the companies still doing stuff...
You need a hybrid pulley.
Hybrid pulley?
Yes.
Yeah. Variable diameter pulley?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Right?
CVT.
It can't
CVT
be
CVT the blower.
Oh, shit, yeah. Ethanol, it unlocks like a solenoid that allows the thing to...
Yeah.
Pull apart to make it smaller.
Yeah, really get ripping.
Hey, man, it's...
Interesting. And then you could build boost down low, and then you could tile it back up top if you wanted to, or vice versa. Your
fucking pulley every time you want to change like boost range.
Yeah, you just gotta bolt a big CVT on the thing. And
well,
snowmobile hanging.
I bet
the
you
hood.
What they're probably doing is just running the big pulley with all the airflow and then bleeding a bunch. So
probably,
yeah,
that's a lot of heat.
Yeah.
Small pulley.
Yeah, small pulley.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah, you don't.
Or unless you're talking about the crank side. I mean, yeah, hey.
No, yeah, you're just making more heat than you need to, really, at that point.
Yeah, I don't know how else you would do it. But it
says they blew up several engines during development.
Yeah, I saw that. I think that's why it still wasn't out.
It may make sense. Not, it did an 891 at 150 something, like 160 as they dropped it off. When, yeah. I don't know, whatever that is.
Yeah,
I don't know drag racing math, but something around there.
Yeah,
eights.
It's fast. Yeah, I mean it's fast in a straight line. That's exactly what they made it for.
That's yeah.
They said they made some kind of claim about it too, like it being like the fastest production car 0 to 60 ever, beating that when it beat the Bugatti Chiron SS. And the Lucid Air, which I guess was like the next fastest.
Is that
thing.
Like only on a drag strip?
Well, that's the thing. They didn't say anything about that. And I'm like, okay, but yeah, is that with like slicks and stuff or what?
Absolutely. Slicks make a huge difference between road tires.
Yeah, I'm like, there's no way they did that on whatever DOT tires and everything. No. And I highlight out whoever drove the Bugatti put slicks on it.
Right. That's so, true, yeah. You know, the Bugatti was fucking strapped down with some like sticky boys, like
probably brake, but...
Probably, but I don't know, man. It's a lot like, better chance than...
Yeah, why wouldn't the Bugatti win, right? It's because it's got like a 1,500 or 1,600 horsepower or something like that, right? So, well, I mean,
gearing and everything else, it doesn't necessarily work that way.
True. But also, drivetrain
loss. You
think
that one's it's worse than a Dodge transmission?
The ZF8? Yeah, it's definitely worse than a ZF8.
You think a Bugatti transmission is just like going to be worse?
Out of the hole, yes.
Why?
Because it's not what they designed it around. Versus they designed a demon thing around drag racing.
Were you talking about like gear ratios and stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, well,
yeah, ratios specifically.
I don't know. I wouldn't assume
somebody
that.
Do it. Somebody that like has 10, more money
it's
than
like
us.
Like a 10-speed in that thing too, but
Jesus fuck.
Okay.
It'll do 300 miles per hour.
That's also probably why it's a dog out of the hole. But
yeah, that's see, you can't have both.
I'm not saying that, but
that's the Chiron Super Sport 300 Plus. God, this is ridiculous. W16 8-liter engine with a price tag of $3.9 million.
For $3.9 million, I could definitely make a faster car.
Absolutely. Oh yeah.
So wait, what
you
is
could
it?
Probably make like many, four faster cars.
A faster fucking Moto 4 with that much money.
How much horse torques?
God, that'd be terrifying.
It's so fast.
It weighs 4,400 pounds.
Jeez.
Makes it's pretty light.
1,450 horsepower.
Okay. Huh. All right. Well, so maybe...
But that's the that's the regular Chiron.
Yeah, we need the SSW 5,000.
Fuck, man. These things are...
300 plus, plus...
Plus, plus.
Plus, yeah. Whatever the fuck it's called.
R.
Quad turbocharger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, they that's always the, have
that. Yeah. That's been a thing.
What a it's like hype beast vehicle.
Yeah, exactly. Like no one is using it for any of that.
Ugh. Except for insurance fraud.
That too. That was the old one. But yeah.
I know.
I remember that video.
Well, the new Demon weighs 4,275.
Okay. Lighter, yeah.
It's less than the Audi weighs.
Less luxury. Less luxury. So wait, but how many horsepower does the SS Chiron thing have?
SS Chiron? What?
Yeah. Not, is that? Whatever you've that's said
the,
before.
That was the claim that they beat the Chiron SS 300 plus R.
Is that actually the name?
No.
Oh, okay.
What the fuck is going on over
Red
here?
Red Eye VTEC.
The 300 plus. Wait, what did you want to know about that one? It was how much power?
Oh, yeah. Horse puppies, yeah.
1577.
Okay.
1577? That's not that much.
I bet the Demon takes it off the line.
It's almost 600 more, but...
How many torques? Torqueways?
Oh, I don't know.
Torqueways are the real thing.
Like 12, maybe?
Well, the Bugattis are all-wheel drive, aren't they, too, right?
Yeah.
Drivetrain loss?
Monthly payments are $88,762 a month if you want to buy one.
Wow.
That's... so much money.
1180 foot-pounds.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so that's close to the Demon doodad, right? That's got to be like nearly the same.
300 more, but okay.
The torques?
Yeah.
What was it, torques?
Nine something torque for the Demon? Red Eye Hellcat?
Insert nomenclature, blah, blah, blah. Whatever it is.
Alphabet soup.
It's too much information in here.
Yeah.
I feel like that'd be a good rate. I'd watch that. I'd watch that once. I'd be like, okay, now I know. I still think the demon would still have it.
It's at the, yeah, but I always like never trust the guy driving it either. I'm like, what if switch drivers now? Like, I don't know.
It's hard to do a control and those with little
drag race things. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, each driver gets, you know, a couple runs in both things.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And then the guy who's the fastest, like.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I still feel like all things equal, the Bugatti should win.
945.
I mean, especially for how much millions of dollars?
Right.
What was that? $1.3 million?
Yeah. Right? But some, you know.
Hurting feelings out here.
Yeah.
Can you imagine spending that $1.3 million and then getting walked by a fucking demon, though?
Yeah, I know.
Wouldn't you be pissed?
With a $400 right. nitrous kit on it? So, yeah, like, right. Later.
Some dude's got a fucking trucker cap on that says it's got a Confederate flag on it. He's like, yeah! Ah, man.
It's a rich redneck.
I mean...
sell it on the back bumper.
It's the same as what? Like a decked out Super Duty these days? Like, I don't know. You see a lot of them around.
Yeah.
Which one?
Like a new diesel dually whatever. Oh, like you see a bunch of them cruising around. Same price, just about.
Dude, I saw one the other day. It was like a brand new dually quad cab extended long bed thing. And I was like, and it was like lifted and it was like done up. And I was like, that dude has $200,000 in that truck. Easy. Yeah. And I was but like,
the truck's $100,000. So right. Yeah. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a write off.
So then, at that point, anything on top of that, you know, they put the wheels and tires and lifts and lights and sheesh.
Tuners.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's crazy amount. Truck stuff's expensive. Like new truck stuff is expensive. I mean, I guess.
So it's all expensive. Yeah. Everything's expensive.
Yeah.
We've gone over this.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's too expensive.
Why do we do the hobby that we do?
What else am I going to do?
Yeah, I mean, I guess we've already had this conversation, too.
Drugs are more expensive.
Yeah, you don't have anything after it either.
Yeah.
I'm scared if I quit cars, I'll just get really fucking bored.
Yeah. Well.
You'll just be a fat golfer.
I probably have a lot of money after selling everything.
Why would you sell it?
Because if I quit cars, why would I have cars?
Right.
I mean, if you already own,
you got a soft quit.
You could keep the Corvette and your golf clubs and your New Balances and your set.
Yeah, a cold turkey. You can be. Yeah, it can be like a.
Do you want to be
middle-aged man car guy?
Yeah,
warm turkey.
Yeah,
I think you got to try out a soft quit if you're going to do it. Just like leave everything mothballed. Don't go in the garage for a while and just ignore it.
Throw the keys in the woods.
So pull a me, and just don't touch anything.
Yeah, how's your life, Dave?
Well, honestly, I feel like it's been necessary for me, at least, to take a break for the most part.
You're always taking a break.
Yeah. No. But I mean, like, realistically, I don't know. Realistically, in the last, like, 8 months, yeah, I mean, I haven't done a lot of car stuff, but at the same time, I've done a lot of...
8 months is a long-ass break, in my opinion, like, compared to what we're used to. Sometimes
it's a necessary break that has to happen in order to find motivation again, so...
So have you found it?
Well, I mean, not necessarily the motivation to do. I mean, yes, I'm still interested in doing it, but I spent a lot of time doing other improvement things for my life. So, you know, I'm not really, the cars aren't going anywhere. So, you know, what the fuck difference is that? You're right. The Corrado and the wagon move. I was waiting for that dig. Come right in there.
To yourself.
Just a layup.
Just shiving me in the prison cell here. But, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
But, now what?
Well, I just want to hear about what Dave did, just so we can already get to Kevin.
Yeah, I know.
Already? Right now?
Yeah.
We're like 5 minutes in here.
So?
What else are
you
going to talk
about? Do whatever we want. You want to talk about news?
Yeah, let's talk about some, let's do some car news.
Go ahead.
Kev Dog.
I mean, just pull up some stuff.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, so the one thing that I saw that I thought was interesting, I took a quick glimpse at it. It was like some of the new Hyundais are now uninsurable for whatever reason.
Because they're stolen every 4 seconds. Because they don't have.
Is that it?
Yeah, because they could steal with a USB drive.
They didn't have an immobilizer from like 2015 to 2020. 21 or something.
Okay. I didn't really look into it. I just saw that and I was like, I wonder if this has anything to do with the new ones at all. But if it's the same.
No, they fixed it since then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there was that like TikTok trend for a while where they were literally teaching people how to steal Hyundais and Kias. Yep. Because it's too easy.
Yep.
The Kia boys.
Are any of those motors good? If they didn't have immobilizers, is it worth putting out?
But the motors are a whole separate thing. There's like class action lawsuits left and right for the ship blowing up.
Some really? Of them blowing up, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Never mind.
Oil starvation and they spin rod bearings.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that adds up.
Junk.
Yeah.
What a ship pile.
It's like, oh, cool. Something without an immobilizer. Can't be anything good, I guess.
Oh, my God.
I mean, yeah. They're fuel efficient.
Yeah, but
I mean, if you just want like a beater and you're just going to drive it,
you get that warranty. Like,
I mean, I don't want that. I was thinking the power plant for these things that are worthless. Oh, if it was something to put in something because it doesn't have an immobilizer. But no,
I see.
I'm sure there's probably still some weird parameters that don't allow it to work without certain things.
Probably not.
No,
you don't think so?
No, I think it's just really dumb and old.
Yeah, I agree. That's why it was cheap. Like, they don't put fancy technology into it.
Yeah.
Has anybody ever spent the time to build one of those engines? Like the two liter turbos that they have and like the Elantras or whatever it is?
Some people do the, you know, they got the N now.
Yeah.
People built the Velosters. That was a 1.6.
Yeah, okay.
I mean,
I won't say I didn't dislike those, but I was never like, ooh, those are cool. Like, I was like, yeah, it's kind of cool.
So modifying those is a pretty hopeless cause.
Yeah, unless it's like your first car. And I mean, I guess there's a time and place for everything, really.
Don't tell that to Honda people. Like, yeah. It's kind of the same thing.
Right.
Yeah, but Hondas have traditionally always been a highly modified. Well,
no, they weren't.
Like, but why? I mean, they're just they're economy cars.
Because they're cheap.
Same thing you could say for the Hyundai and Kias.
Well, I mean, I guess for everything that I've seen Honda wise, like in the.
That has been around for longer.
Yeah, stuff, yeah.
But
yeah, they had to be that first guy still. So yeah.
That's true. Maybe there's hope for the Hyundai kids, but I doubt it.
Sure.
Whatever.
I don't think there is.
Shoot them down, Kevin. Shoot them down.
I don't think it's ever going to grow into anything big.
Well, not with the current issues.
No.
I think that's going to hold a lot of people back and hold like.
That's probably like, solvable with like an aftermarket oil pump or something.
Yeah.
But somebody needs to spend the time to look into it, develop the part, fix the issue. And then sell it to a market that's not interested in modifying it in the first place.
I wasn't under the impression that it was something that simple, though, because I know like people who unmodified cars were like blowing up. So
yeah, but what's the service interval? Rude.
Fuck.
Like, I imagine that's the customer that goes 50,000 miles on an oil change and like all that other type of thing. So.
I don't know what the
deal is. There's got to be a fix. If you can get high volume oil pumps for random things and stuff like that, if there was a customer for it, you could definitely fix it. I don't know.
I'm sure.
That's everyone's on their phone instead now, so I'm talking to nothing.
I was trying to figure out what the problem is.
Oh.
It's a 2021 class action lawsuit.
Wouldn't they make all that stuff like a recall, though?
How do Wouldn't you recall to... and install an immobilizer?
No.
The oil thing?
Yeah.
Because their warranty's pretty long. I don't know.
Does they still have the 100,000 mile warranty for those? So. For the Hyundai's? Okay.
10-year, 100K.
See, but at the same... It might be garbage, but at the same time, with the warranty, like, if you're just looking to drive something to the ground...
You needed to, yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't need to.
Yeah, it's true.
It spreads from 2011 to 2019 with the Theta engine.
Mm-hmm. Theta.
That's crazy. That's a long time.
That's a long time of not oil.
Okay, so there's looks like two different issues. Like the early engines all had a problem where Hyundai, I guess, admitted to just debris being left in the engine, like metal from the deep deburring process and just running around and just trashing all the bearings. And then it looks like the later stuff was some other flaw with the oil passages, just not allowing it, just like too much restriction, not enough flow for the engine.
That's a hard fix.
So it's just the whole engine's trash, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, you could drill out some stuff, but that's not worth it.
Yeah, but like having to go through those
You got to tear the whole motor down to like make it usable in that case.
Yeah. And then that's pointless. It's a waste. Well, waste of time.
So they, I guess on the older stuff, that was part of a class. Oh, that was a recall. The newer stuff, they know about this and they haven't recalled them. And I guess that's why it might be part of a class action.
Because what do you do about it? Like,
well, yeah, if you recall it, you have to have a fix, right?
Right.
So
that's new oh. bottom end. Like, you're doing short blocks at that point in everything.
Yep.
Yikes. And that's that's yeah. a lot of cars.
Yeah.
From what did you say?
Yeah. No matter how often the oil was changed or how regular maintenance was performed, Sonata and Optima owners would be the owners of completely worthless cars, knocking, tapping engines. More than 10 years later, and after a somewhat quiet battle in court, the cars have made their way to their second and third owners, looking for a reliable, cheap car. But it ain't gonna happen.
Well, it's not fucking reliable. It's gonna be broken all the time. Shit.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I guess it depends how quickly the extra stuff within the engine and that causes damage, I guess. Depends on how much you drive it, probably, but
It's probably like the stop and go stuff shit yeah. dies first, but like with all the auto start things, oh, like that's yeah. probably no oil pressure. Some oil pressure. No oil pressure.
Oh,
some
yeah,
oil
can you pressure. Imagine?
Oh yeah.
Huh. I didn't even think about that. I mean, you're not losing all the
Oil's there.
There is oil there. Sure, there's not pressure. I mean, you hang on to pressure for a little bit before it bleeds down, like on a tight engine. But
for
5 seconds or so. Like I know that's not enough for a stoplight or anything. But no.
Yeah, I watched the light on the Unimog like dims out and then comes yep. back.
There's a guy that did like the science on this, and he found out that based on like a Prius's fuel consumption and the amount that it consumes on the startup, which is more than just running.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
You have to have the car off for about 8 seconds. And that to was like for that, that particular car.
Right.
To make it worthwhile for you to actually save any fuel.
That's gotta be close. I mean,
it's gonna be close.
Yeah, 8 does, seconds yeah. is a while if you think about it. I mean,
especially if people like creep up to lights, you know, if they're like racing to the red light and they stop. Okay, maybe
there's also some often. Delay on it shutting off too. So yeah, you gotta right. figure like that's not the whole yeah. time you're stopped. I don't know how that figures out the time. But
there's a lot of different factors. Yeah. You know, if it's running AC, it'll cycle back on, cycle yeah. back off.
I feel like it's kind of a wash.
Yeah, probably.
That's how they're meeting their emissions, though. That's more the reason.
Yeah, probably. I bet they have some pretty fucking stout starters, though. I'd be like oh, exactly. interested in using one of those for like a race car, so I never have to worry about the starter again.
Yep.
Yeah. Imagine a dead starter on something that is auto stop start.
Like, oh my god!
It just shuts off.
You
on
just
you
let off the gas pedal and just dies.
And you're screwed.
I think
you're
that was a problem. So screwed. That was a problem with the RS6s.
Really?
Yikes!
Yeah.
The starters would just die. Oof.
Yeah, it's kind
like
of. It is
new,
nice.
Wait,
though.
The new ones? Like the new RS6?
Yeah.
Oh shit.
It's okay.
Christ, Dave.
I've lost interest in saying what I was going to say.
Sorry.
Something about beef starters, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm just going to say, the nice thing about if your starter dies is that you're parked somewhere.
Not this
Not
time.
In the middle of the road.
Yeah.
There's pretty good odds that if your car's stopping and starting at every light and stop sign, that if it goes, it's probably not going to go at your house.
Right. Well, yeah. Think of how many more times a starter is being used.
Yeah.
Like, other than when you're just firing it up in the morning.
Yeah, leaving somewhere. Yeah. Pretty wild.
Not much.
Yeah. What?
Wait.
What?
Well, in a stop-start scenario, they are. But for everyone else, right. No, never.
But. So.
Yeah. Hmm. Huh. I haven't looked if the starters are, like, physically larger.
No.
They're just, like,
no.
Didn't go cheap on the bearings. Are they more expensive or something? Like they must have just figured something out.
It doesn't seem like it. I did look at this, and I forget what car I was looking at that had something new, and I was like, oh, I wonder how much that replacement starter is. And you know, I looked on like Rock Auto and things like that. Prices seemed reasonable for whatever it was. It looked like a normal starter.
Yeah, so it's really nothing.
I figured maybe they'd be like, you know, the torque multiplication version, yeah. So that it's like, you know, that you can overbuild the motor for the size or something like that, but it doesn't look like it. Just looks like a normal.
I just picked like a 2020 Audi S4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like
the same.
$280.
Oh.
$200.
For a new
$300.
So what do you expect?
Right.
That's like Valeo. OEM one's like 700, but
yeah, it's Audi.
Pretty average. Yeah, I think.
It's not crazy.
Yeah. So.
Nothing. How many things have you had a dead starter on?
Never.
Never?
Never happened.
Yeah. I had to do one on the Audi when I did the swap. It was annoying.
But it wasn't dead.
No, it was. Well, the starter itself wasn't dead, but the actuator was, or the solenoid to actuate it was fuckered. I think I'm going to have it rebuilt. I hung on to it. Just to,
go to that place in Akron.
Yeah.
I had to do one on the Audi. The day before we left to go to Michigan for snowdrift.
Yeah.
And then I took it out and put it back in because the one didn't show up. And then it was fine.
Yeah.
So it wasn't actually broken.
Yeah.
It was a bad ground or something.
Yeah, maybe.
Sighting it down again. Bit.
Yeah, probably.
Well, then your second one had starter issues too.
Yeah, you had to beat that one with a rock.
Yeah. Oh, solenoid. Yeah.
Yeah, it would just run and not kick forward.
Right.
Yeah, that's what the one that I had was doing. And it would sometimes kick forward, but then sometimes it wouldn't. But also, when I took it out, like the actuator arm that's inside like the little square bit there, like a corner of that square piece was busted off, so you could see the actuator arm. And I was like, well, that's probably part of it. So if anybody wants to like take a shot at putting some bits back together.
No, I mean, it started from 1980, whatever it was, 89, I guess, was the 5000.
Yeah.
It's still cranking. I mean...
Well, that's like that one did too. It still cranked, and it had a part of it missing. And it was, I don't know, whatever. Meh.
Meh. Mm-hmm.
The question is, for the auto stop-start stuff, do you think that the car being warm has an effect on how much...
I'm sure they've nailed the startup routine for a hot engine.
Well, no, I was kind of, because I thought about that. I was like, I bet it plays some part in the...
Oil's hot too, so things are
easier to spin. Yeah.
Yep.
You have more electrons because the thing was just running, hopefully.
Yep.
I guess it makes sense as to why they work.
You've had issues with the LS starter.
It was a $80 Amazon starter, and I cooked it with my exhaust, I think.
Oh, okay.
So
I just remember like hot starts being a thing.
Yeah.
And is that the one you gave me? I took the solenoid off of it and I put it in the Corvette.
I did. Yeah. I think that is the one I gave you.
Because the post came like out of it instead of the nut coming off.
Yeah. Then you never know where the depth is or where the pad was supposed to be inside. No.
Danger.
I replaced it not knowing what the issue was necessarily either. Because at the same time, I think I ended up running new like power cable to it and everything. So I don't know.
Fine sense though.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, that's nice because that was annoying.
Yeah.
I was always nervous it wasn't going to start or kill the battery. I forgot about that.
Welp.
Yeah, what else? What other kind of news we got, Kevin? Anything interesting?
Why is this my responsibility?
You're in front of the laptop.
Because you wouldn't record the episodes anymore, Dave.
This was not a I didn't want to do it. It was a my computer no longer has USB inputs.
What? When did that become?
No, that was the thing when he got the.
Thank you.
Thank you. He could have bought like a $3 Amazon adapter, but.
I mean, I still can if you want me to. Not a big deal. But you have like the mic stand now.
Are you not having that laptop for like, you have it for another week? Like,
yeah, good point.
I made this investment in the mic stand for me.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good. Proud of you.
But like sitting back rather than leaning forward over the table.
I mean, I agree, but.
Keeps me engaged.
Yeah.
You just talk from leaned back.
You just yell from 3 feet away.
Yeah, well, maybe.
What are you drinking today, Kevin?
The ugliest car I've ever made.
Since you're the only one drinking anything.
Some Wolf's Ridge.
What is that? What do we got? We haven't done a
Daybreak
beer guy.
Coffee, vanilla, cream ale.
Oof. That sounds good. Is it good?
It's not as aggressive as it sounds.
Okay.
It's very light.
The coffee vanilla. I'm into the
breakfasty
cream ale. I'm not a big cream ale guy.
It's not.
Well, wouldn't that?
It's almost like a light porter.
Yeah.
Okay. It's 5%. It's not crazy.
Hmm.
Okay.
Well, those are pretty good. I've been there a few times down in Columbus.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
They have a beer called Cinnamon Toast Brunch.
Ooh.
That sounds...
That's up my alley.
Yep. That's similar to this. So okay. A little bit of coffee, a little bit of cinnamon toast. It's good.
Nice. Well,
what do you got in the other one there?
There's some IPA from Ignite, the place in Canton or whatever.
Way, way less interested it's
not
in that one.
It's really not that good. And then Tully dropped off some Jenny Cream Ales from Rochester.
Okay.
I haven't dove into that yet, but.
Cream Ale.
It's been a while.
Never had a cream ale. What's that like? Oh, I don't. You want me to open it?
Why don't you drink it?
I mean, I don't. Okay. I don't. What if I don't like it? Do you want it if I don't like it?
You'll like it.
All right. Well, now I'm drinking a beer.
He was mounting up his tires when I was leaving.
Tally was?
He was all excited.
That he wanted a silver, and I was like, I'm telling you, the clear really takes down the metallic. And he's like, I like this silver. Like, okay. Thing turned into like Nardo gray.
I said it was clear. Still a bunch of flake and stuff. It's yeah, like, it's it light dependent.
Some,
but
it still had some shine into it when you had like a flashlight on it. But
yeah.
But yeah, it really took down the silver.
That's pretty good.
They came out good otherwise. They're nice and glossy. So
nice.
The like the initial taste is very, it's creamy, obviously.
Mm, wow.
But like the rest of it's very normal beer tasting. It's pretty good.
You should do food reviews, Dave.
Yeah, excellent assessment.
Mm, creamy. Just,
there is like a, isn't there a guy that does that honest food reviews? Isn't that guy? Does
well, this do? Tastes like pizza. It is pizza.
Ha!
Ha!
I feel like most, some but, people would watch
it
that.
It also tastes like pizza.
Excellent.
Well,
have you guys been? I don't know.
Go ahead.
Every once in a while, I dig around on Cars and Bids now.
Oh, I have not gandered.
Not lately. I looked at some stuff a little while back, but just out of curiosity.
I completely stopped looking at Bring a Trailer unless, like,
yeah,
there was something I just like wanted to look at what kind of wild shit was going
yeah,
for.
Yeah.
It just got out of hand on that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I
check the Unimog listing on Bring a Trailer every once in a while just to give myself a little grasp on what's going down out there in case it ever, you know, mm-hmm. just to keep that in the back yeah, of my head.
Yeah, it's yeah. got to have a wild spectrum.
There is. Yeah, there is a wild
there's
spectrum.
So many different types.
Yeah, how frequently do they have Unimogs listed on Bring a Trailer?
Pretty often.
Really? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I kind of, ever since I got rid of Facebook Marketplace, I really haven't like looked at buying
You're not missing
anything.
Much, no.
Really?
No.
There's not much good right now.
No. There is a Moto 4 that just popped up the other day. It looks pretty nice. That $800 one. Blue.
No, I don't know. No, too I didn't much. See that one.
Yeah.
I saw like a $300.
It's pretty nice.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I will say I'm more satisfied with that with the 100 that I bought for $250
We've just been spoiled with $300 Moto 4s or less. Like it's a normal price for like a running thing that's in good condition. It's
yeah.
$800. Oh yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's
yeah.
fine.
Still. I don't know. There was another kind of semi whooped $300-ish one recently, but I'm not in the market.
No.
Yeah, you're
Marketplace
trying to sell
still
stuff.
Knows.
I mean, I would if it was cheap enough, but
you can always do a good old Flipsky.
Right.
Take the yeah. good one. Sell one of yours.
Yeah.
Upgrade. I've been meaning to ask you, where do you guys get the handlebars for yours?
Amazon,
eBay. Amazon,
eBay.
Summit.
They're 50 bucks.
Yeah. 50 bucks yeah. on a good old Amazon?
No, not even, sorry, $35
yeah.
on Amazon?
I think they're a little more now, but
30, 35, that's what I paid.
I've been kind of staring at the 100, and I'm like, yeah, I kind of want to put some handle bars on there and maybe do some other stuff, but I haven't really.
$38 on Amazon.
Nice.
Nice.
You shouldn't text.
That's wildly cheap for a set of handlebars.
Right.
Yep. I don't know. Stock one's been pretty easy, and these seem yeah. to be holding up all right, so hey.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just like, you know, a little extra height, and then like having the bar in the middle is kind of nice. It just looks wise. It, you know, gives it a nice little aftermarket flair.
A little sporty appearance,
yeah.
you know?
Sporty.
Yep.
But I will say I haven't been satisfied with the 100 because I got on it the other day and I hit starter. Sorry. And I just hit it for 2 seconds, put the choke on, started immediately. And I was like, you know what? I really enjoy this one compared to the other one because it just goes. And I don't have to fuck with it.
You going to go to Vintage Mode at these?
What day is it this year?
I forget.
Yeah,
July
forget
something. 22?
Second, third, fourth.
I don't know.
22, 3, 4.
Maybe.
22, 3, 4.
Yeah. You can't commit.
1, 2, 3.
Yeah, no.
Not that far in advance, no. Of course not. That's like a month in advance I can commit. Then it's fine.
To not going.
I went last year.
For a day. For an afternoon, yeah. I think.
No, it was all right. No, I was there all day. I got there, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock?
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, but then you I left. Leave okay, till, you're right. You left early because you had like a wedding to go to or something.
Was it a wedding? Yeah, something like that. I don't remember. Whatever. I made the effort. I showed up. I went. I did the thing. It's fine.
You bought tickets.
Nice.
Did I buy tickets?
Yep.
You guys already bought tickets?
Yep.
If I buy the tickets, that's a commitment.
That is a commitment.
I'll have to just buy the tickets and deal with it. Right. Worry about it later.
Committed to the Erie Comp, which happens to overlay with it.
Yep.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, no.
Yep.
We'll be thinking of you in spirit.
If I get out early, then I'll just come down.
Yeah, yeah. That's always an option.
Right.
If I just fuck that's up
so
or like
far.
Car breaks or something.
It's like a 4-hour drive for me back from there.
I drove back from the Poconos the one year and drove all the way to in Ohio.
Yeah. Yep.
I feel like at some point the gates just like open. You can just
They didn't check shit that time.
Yeah. In the evenings, like I don't know. When it's not the first day, I think you're in the clear.
Yeah.
But
it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday again, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Technically Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah, I'm trying to go Thursday night.
What's on the what do they do on the Thursday?
You
they
can do only the, do that if you have the camping RV camping.
Nah. Camping. It's got the camping.
Okay.
Got one.
All right. When they're like, you don't have the spot.
It's too bad. Suck. I'm going in.
I guess you can just camp outside, right? Worst case.
Okay, I guess I could.
All right, I'll be like in the entrance.
Yeah. Just kind of park, I'll just shut it off right there.
Would they tell you to
here
leave?
Here it is.
Really? Like, would they really tell you to leave?
No,
no. No way.
No one is there, like, caring enough. Like, everyone seems like high school volunteers and stuff, like, trying to just get the scan thing to work.
And why would they tell me I couldn't? Right, you know, exactly. Like, why? Other people are coming in. Why can't I come in?
True.
I don't know.
I will say if you just like rode something in through the gate, they'd just be like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, that's also true.
They literally wouldn't care.
Just unpack a thing and right, just ride on in.
Yeah.
Just say you have like a vendor pass, but your buddy's got it at the spot or whatever. And they'd be like, oh, yeah.
He's already in there.
Yeah.
I got the merch.
Yeah.
Or just, you could just like wear one of the things that looks like a vendor pass around your neck and they're not going to care.
I'll buy some of those little tickets at the dollar store and just so I got tickets for stuff.
I'm important. Or a yellow vest.
A
yellow vest is almost a guaranteed entry every time.
Those are like $5 on Amazon. You can be one of those staff. Yes, staff on the back.
Yeah. A little blinky light.
Or what is it? Go and carry in a ladder.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
Yep.
Except for there, of all places. Have you seen videos like just getting going into places with ladders? Yeah.
Dude, I watched one recently. It was a guy that went to Walmart and he bought a Walmart vest and hat and he like wore it to Walmart. He walked out with the TV. Just walked right out with the TV. No one said a word. And I was like, boy, if you get caught doing that, you're going to get in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I think that exceeds the dollar amount for like the felony thing.
Yeah.
I think you get like up to $100 worth of something, and then over that, it's like a much worse charge.
Really? Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah. I've never really stolen anything before, so.
You know.
Not a thief.
Spreading knowledge here.
I feel like that's a great deterrent. Anything over $100 is a felony.
Yeah,
Well, I don't want that, so. Mm-hmm. And people still do it.
Yeah.
Wild.
I mean, if you're gonna exceed the limit, make it count.
Yeah, but just steal like a car or something, or like rob a bank, or do something worth doing.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Not for a TV from, at that point.
No.
Yep.
Going in for charges.
Unless I'm stealing like a whole truckload of TVs, but
robbing a bank or something. I don't know. Go big or go home.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
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 Yeah.
So are we buying orange? Sorry.
What are we buying?
Are we buying orange vests for a yellow vest for Vintage Motor?
Are you going?
I don't know.
Do you just wait until someone's talking to talk?
Sometimes. Wait, hold on.
I swear, that's how it works. Yeah.
Damn it, Dave. Do your bit.
Do my bit?
I'm tired of digging around here.
Tired of digging around.
Yeah, what do you got?
I put a
threaded
car.
Rod in a thing, and then that was it. And
nope.
I gave up.
No. I spent most of my Saturday just trying to get the passenger side out of the car. Fuck. Jeez, oh, Pete, man. I thought it was going to be...
Jeez, oh, Pete.
Jeez, oh, Pete, indeed.
Never heard that one.
Yeah. I went down, and then I was like, all right, cool, I'm going to knock this out. 2 hours later, I'm like contorted in a weird way. trying to get a ratchet on a bolt that you can't get a ratchet on. Basically, I ended up getting it off, finally. One of the arms that comes out to actually hold the mount, I actually had to undo the entire thing to take it off in order to get it out. So, the car is still not back together, but they're both out.
Nice.
You could have had the whole motor out and back in.
That's kind of what I thought, too. I was like, I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, what's the easiest way that I could do this? And I just did it. And then I was like, you know, I was like, I'm kind of an idiot. Like, I could have just taken the engine out at this point, and it would have taken me less time.
Can you not, like, drop the subframe down or something? Like,
no. Well, you can, but there's still no clearances to remove the top portion of the trans mounts because it sits in an arm, and the arm has, like, a beveled edge, and the nut sits inside of that. The problem is the space between the actual body of the car and the arm that sticks out is, like, this much.
Right.
So you can't... Jump, and because
you drop it. So well, you dropped the subframe.
I did.
More.
More. All the way.
All the way.
Okay.
Okay. The trans doesn't move.
How does the trans not move?
Because it's still connected to the engine, which is connected to the
trans. The subframe, engine. Which is being lowered.
Right.
No, that's different. The 5000s and the 200s are not the same chassis when it comes to that as the V8s. The V8 engine mounts are actually bolted to the body of the car.
Well, then why are you dropping rails? The subframe? It's not going to do
anything. Because I needed to do that anyways to get the bottom portion of the mounts out.
Lower the engine mounts. Loosen those things up.
I was getting there.
Or just take the bracket off. Like,
well, I got the one. I did. I got the bracket off. So, I don't know. The likelihood is that I'm probably just going to lower the engine at this point because I don't want to have to fuck with it for the next 4 hours when I go to work on it. But yeah, no, I had spoke with Carrie about it, and he was like, yeah, the V8s are a little bit different than the 200s and the 5000s. Like, they don't give you the clearances that you need. But the whole thing was basically that I couldn't get a ratchet in between, you know, the beveled dip where the nut was and the body of the car. Which
you got a ratcheting wrenches?
It wouldn't have mattered. There's no...
They're slim.
No, there's nowhere to do it. Does that make sense?
No.
Like, even if you get one on there, you really can't even, like, wiggle the bit.
Your description is terrible.
Yeah.
I'll just have to send you a picture. It's a pain in the ass. But I spent a bunch of time doing that. I did also, I got the 034 short shift kit that I was waiting on, and I decided, instead of doing the trans mounts the next day, that I wanted to do that instead, so I started doing that because I was like, I don't feel like being underneath the car for 2 hours today. So, yeah, did stuff. Kind of more than I have recently, but that's about it.
Nice.
Do you have any new turbo parts or anything?
No, I'm kind of holding off real quick for a while. I got some stuff I gotta do.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, now that Will's back, we can harass Kevin about how many horse puppies the E36 made today.
Ooh, yeah.
And it's Dino Jam Sesh.
It is a Tuesday. Tuesday for the horsepowers.
Yep. We did that today.
You didn't blow it up? Because, I mean, or did you? Is it still sitting
here? Blow up.
Okay, good.
You wouldn't know otherwise, but.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah.
It's still together.
He's got to pull his phone out. He's got pictures of it. He's proud.
Well, there's.
I saw the.
Four
the,
numbers.
The video you posted to your Instagram and looked and sounded good.
Yeah, we did. 357, 342 torque, 367 horsepower on 93 on gate pressure.
Which is like seven?
Eight PSI. Okay.
That's pretty good.
And we ended up at 563,
whoa, okay.
505 on E85. Well, E65.
How many?
19.
Okay.
1920.
Nice.
That works. That's like exactly where you wanted it to be, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, well, fuck yeah, let's go. I saw you driving it around in the snow the other day. How was that?
Just started snowing. I was driving around. It was cold, you know? It's fine.
Okay. I just wasn't sure if it was grippy enough or if you were all over the
place.
No,
I wasn't like really accumulating. It was enough to like collect in the front bumper, but yeah, okay. Not really.
Did you look at any of the data logs, stuff like that from the dyno stuff yet? Or did you get any?
No, I Darren was responsible for all that.
Yeah. I just would have been curious to look at it afterwards, just like see how IATs were doing and things like that.
I was keeping an eye on random stuff. IATs never really never have really been high on that car. They do really well with that intercooler for some reason. Mm. Like rarely go over 100 degrees.
Well, hell yeah.
Yeah, everything was pretty much as it has been from the last engine, just new engine.
And a lot more torque now.
Clutch, I guess, held together pretty good then?
It was making about the same horsepower and torque as it.
On the 2.5?
Yeah, it made over 400.
Okay.
So how do you, how many braking miles did you have on the clutch since Will brought that up?
Doesn't really matter. Like the amount of driving you do in like hours is probably more worthwhile if you're talking about
like stop and goes
where you're driving.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm constantly shifting or like driving back roads,
yeah, okay,
which is what I did for probably like a total of, I don't know, hour and a half.
Yeah. So you're able to give it full beans without worrying about it.
Yeah. I mean, enough to get faces seated on stuff and not really worry about it.
Yeah. Good.
I thought about making, you know, the little lap counter things.
Yeah.
Make a bracket for that for the clutch pedal.
Oh my God.
Just make one of those like for, it came up at work, like, cause people send back clutches every once in a while that like just clearly weren't broken in or clearly installed backwards or whatever. Wait, so
how do you define clearly not broken in? Just like still have like ridges like, on the,
yeah. Like it's still oily. Like,
well, that's just not cleaning it.
There's so many instances where like you can still see a machine surface and like the thing's blue now because they just got right into it. Mm. There's a lot of bad installs out there. But I thought it'd be fun if you made a little clamp-on thing to the clutch pedal and then just get a little rod that pokes the floor. And we want 2,000 clutch actuations before. I mean,
everything has a clutch pedal switch already. So
yeah, that's harder to tap into, but
yeah.
Actually, I thought it'd be funny to put a little thing with a little gauge and they had to look at a little
clicker, like a baseball clicker.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's like I looked at the ECU counter for rev limiter. It's in the thousands. I'm like, oh, yep.
Yep.
That just keeps track of that. Yeah, it was pretty smooth, I guess. They had a hub dyno there and...
What was it? Mainline?
Or dyno...
Dynapack.
I want to say.
It's the only other one that I know of.
Yeah.
And it made the curve kind of weird because once boost came in, it started to grab again.
Yeah.
Like it would, you get in it a little bit, it grab and kind of slow it down to do like a sweep. And then boost would hit and it would like kind of shoot up real quick. So it almost sounded like the clutch was slipping.
Yeah.
It did this like, I don't know, RPM jump, then kind of steady state while it figured things out and then continued to go up.
Mustang was kind of the same way, and I never really liked the control sweep for that reason.
It really gives you this like double hump curve, which isn't great for like kind of understanding how the curve is, you know, being applied to the pavement, but
it is useful for tuning.
Yeah, there's a lot of different, there's pluses and minuses of both for sure. Mm-hmm. So that was my first experience with the hub dyno.
The adaptive like ramp rate stuff for resistance is always weird. I don't care for that.
Yeah.
But it works.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Well, cool.
Yep.
So you're happy with it?
Yep.
You ready to go? Ready to do the things?
Pretty much. Probably going to go sign up for Fuck Winter Bash.
Oh, yeah. Doing the 2-day?
Good.
Is that at Erie?
It's not much more money.
Is it?
No, it's at Midvale.
Midvale.
Oh, okay, yeah. Midvale.
It's 85 for one day, 150 for two.
That's almost double. It's 10 bucks less. But
not that much money, apparently.
Man, considering what I spent on the Erie events, this is nothing.
So. Yeah, that's fair.
It's worth the shakedown. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have 2 days worth of tires.
That's what I need to look into. I don't think I do.
That's on the list next.
More tires?
Figuring out what I can order like 20 of.
Are you looking for comp tires strictly or party tires or both?
Trying to have a both because it's supposed to be a 300 tread wear, right? So
yeah,
if I can find a 255, if I can find the Kendas, and they came out with the new one, the Vesta UHP, which is only a 200 tread wear. Apparently, the compound for the 300 is staying the same.
Okay, so it's going to be the same tire. They just rebranded the name.
They're not changing the name.
I thought they changed it from Care 28 to Vesta for everything.
Maybe. That might be true. Yeah.
So they changed the tooling for that.
But. Supposedly the 300 Shredware compound is the same, though. So.
Okay. Interesting.
Yep.
Will?
Okay, I didn't know if Kevin was going to pass it off or, you know, sometimes it
comes up. I think that's all I got. I don't know.
It's good Dave energy.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well,
taking down the whole room.
I got a whole lot of stuff done. Had some house guests this weekend, so I was just partaking in a lot of festivities.
So it's okay when you do non-car.
But I still did stuff, Dave.
But like when I do non-car.
So I put the engine back in the car. Yeah, and
look at that. That's already more than you did.
Look at that. And so then I with that back in, steering rack cleared everything by like a mile, and I didn't need to both modify the oil pan and modify the subframe. I could have just done either or, but hey.
How much more room do you have now, though?
I mean, there's like probably at least 2-3 inches above the steering rack to the engine.
Two to 3 inches?
Oh, yeah. That's so pretty good. It'll be easy to change the rack, Jesus. I guess, but yeah.
quick swap rack. There you go.
I
don't know.
That or I just, put a stock pan back in it because I think that would work and not be the worst thing either. But so that crossed my mind. So that went back in, then did like one more 3D printed version of the knuckle situation for the lock kit, and looks like that's pretty much all done, and I would cut it on the plasma except for I still need to figure out the freaking tie rod end situation. So But with some basic measurements and everything, it looks like it should be, it's at like 55 degrees of angle right now on lead wheel. And then, that's without any, rack spacers or anything.
Okay.
So should be able to get a few more.
So it's not wheel limited. It's rack limited.
Yes.
Yeah. That's good.
So I'm holding off on doing the, making the control arms until I just got to figure out the tie rod end situation. Cause so like this, as I'm sure you know, the stock like S13 stuff is like an M12 skinnier boy. Mm-hmm. A lot of people put on the S14, which is, an S14, which is M14.
Right.
Which is bigger and supposedly beefier. So I'm like, okay. Problem is I don't really care which one right at this moment. I just need to find freaking, turnbuckle ends for a spherical, which seems damn near impossible with the ultra fine pitch thread of both of those, either M14 or the M12, because it's an M12 1.25 or an M14 1.5.
M14 1.5 is normal.
I haven't found shit. Short of making something, which can't just freaking buy something. For once.
Hey, yeah. Those turnbuckle things for our angle kit are that size, M14 1.5, I believe. Because I had to run it over with M14 by 2.0.
And let me know what kind of length you have, because I probably need like 4 inches or so. Maybe.
Ooh, they're longer than that.
Well, if I can cut them down. It depends on that's the thing. Like, if I can cut them down, then I need to change your anyway. So I'd like... Oh, that's true. So they do make short and long versions of the S chassis inner tie rods. So they're
I have the long ones because I have the same rack, and they're Nissan Maxima ones or something, same pitch. Yep. So,
yeah, I know. But they also there is a short version which is used on like the 300 ZXs or something. Okay. So, I can figure that out because that information is pretty readily available. So let me know how long those Turner arms are.
Yeah, remind me tomorrow. I'll check.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, I'd like to do that and then be able to cut the knuckles and be done with that-ish. So I need to take the motor back out anyways, finish welding the rack mounts, and put the sway bar in, which I should have done the first time around. That's part of the reason I can't make the lower control arms is because like, now I can fit the sway bar, so I want to put it back in there and see what needs to clear where.
Couldn't fish it in?
No way. It's a very zigzaggy, squiggly sway bar. It goes around some stuff. But short of that, I was hoping to get a good idea on like where to start with the driver side turbo manifold stuff. It's going to be cozy. It's definitely doable. Problem's not necessarily the manifold itself. It's going to be the crossover. And I still don't have a great idea on that. So, you know, there's no, the bell housing is low, yep, and it stays low.
We have plenty of pan clearance.
I do, but that's where the sway bar goes. So it would be one or the other. I could go through there, but I'd rather keep the sway bar.
You go up front?
Not easily. It's an idea, but the big ass water cooled alternator is right there, and the power steering pump is low on the driver's side. So
it could go up.
Yeah.
Up and over a bit.
It's not great there
either. No, it's not great.
So
the oil filter lines.
You can cut the hood, it's fine.
Yeah, up, up and over.
Gross. Up and over.
Gross.
Just put twin turbos. You don't have to do either. There's no crossover. Problem solved.
Speaking of turbo selection, I have also been like poking around thinking about buying another one. Not that it's going to affect me making it, 'cause like I said, I still build it around the T4 flange. I could potentially be a V-band, but
don't do V-band.
That's kind of what I'm thinking for the hot side anyhow.
I regret it.
I'll do it. So but I have been looking around. I was like, seeing if I can find something that's a touch smaller perhaps. But
what do you have?
It's like a GT45's 1.05 AR.
It'd be fine.
So yeah, it would be fine. I'm just,
what size compressor wheel is that?
68.
Yeah. Should be all right. A little big, but
I know it'll work, you know. Yeah. But I'm just like, I just kind of keeping my eyes peeled for something like a Borg, like a S366 or something like that.
They're not that expensive.
They're not. They're not. A lot more like features to them as well. You know, they got the built-in speed sensors, and they even have the
like EFR ones.
EFR, that's internally gated ones. Expensive that are kinda version, cool, but
no, even yours has a speed sensor thing.
Yeah,
Kevin.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It's not an EFR.
They have the port for one, but you can actually use that.
No,
okay, no.
But hey, should I decide that I do want to use it, you just throw one in
option,
there. Yeah. So other than that, Kevin came over, what was it, one day last week and made your door cards, and that inspired me to make door cards, since I was like kind of like not ready to fully commit to like, so I take this engine out, is this going to be in my way? I got to clean up, make some more space again. So I was like, let me do something else. So Kevin had just made his, and so I whipped some of those out yesterday. So came out pretty good.
That stuff's rewarding because it doesn't necessarily take like a ton of thought, and it's not as daunting as like making motor stuff. So taking a break and doing panels every once in a while.
Yep.
It's good.
So
morale boost.
Yeah.
Trying to wrinkle black them?
No, there's nothing black in that car. I don't want a black.
Okay.
Tan.
I started looking for wrinkle tan and big surprise. That's not a very popular color. So I did find one. It's a Columbia makes a, it's called, what is it? Textured Navajo beige or something. Whoa. Like that. And it looks pretty good. And I don't know that I want to commit to it, because I'm afraid of just having like too many tones, you know, which sucks. So I'm like,
too many dick tones?
That's a lot of dick tones.
The spectrum.
And I was like, I could just paint it with what I painted the interior with. But at the same time, I was like, if I get like, some brown beige powder, like it'd be nice to do I could do the valve covers with that as well.
The wrinkle's nice because it's like it's tough.
I would love wrinkle.
You rub something against it and it only hits like the peaks of the the bumps. So it doesn't actually.
That is my preference, is the wrinkles. Yeah. So I was poking around at that. Not that I need to powder coat it anytime soon, because I'll want to do, like I said, whatever color it is, I'll do the valve covers the same. I got that sunroof panel that's been sitting around forever, which I still need to draw the holes for and everything. So I'll do all of that at once. That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Nice.
For my didn't get a whole lot done this weekend, Dave. Talk shit.
You were like, I did something this weekend. Took out the trans mount. What are you on? What, like week six of the trans mount thing?
Hey, I wasn't trying to shit on Dave anymore. I was just trying to,
because he tried to shit on me. I did other stuff this weekend as well. Just not car stuff.
Yeah, so did I.
Yeah,
I didn't do any car stuff all weekend, actually.
I did go to the Cleveland on Friday. It was fun. But that's
I helped AJ move.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah,
how was that?
That was good. There's like a ton of people there, so it like went pretty quick.
Nice. That's good.
So that was good. Not sure we optimized space, but there was enough vehicles around to like just get it done, and that just was
throw something and grab some stuff.
Yep, make it happen.
Yeah.
So that was cool. Then after that, I picked up our tech Scott had the motor in his E36 had a head gasket issue, so he was going to swap it anyway. So he swapped it, and then it's been sitting in the corner forever. He's like, "Hey, do you want this motor that has a head gasket issue?" I'm like, "Okay." So now I have an M50
free motor
that's still in the bed of the truck. I don't know what to do with.
Okay.
I don't know how bad it could be. We'll find out. But
something to put in something.
Yeah.
Or not. I don't know. Put in your basement?
Vanos, yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's got the weak rods. So, I don't know. I'm toying with something to do with that. Who knows?
Ugh, I'm still on the hunt for like non-Vanos or other M60, M62 stuff.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to find an older cable throttle body.
Oh.
Which is difficult. So, I have all my notifications set up for pull apart. Yeah.
Oh.
From what eBay? Specifically?
98 and prior.
Yeah.
So 97, 98, E39 or E38.
What's the size compared to an E36 one?
Way bigger.
Oh, yeah. It's a gigantic plate. Yeah.
Okay.
I almost thought, I was like, you know what? Since you can unbolt that whole face of it, I'm like, well, I could just take an aluminum plate and weld like an LS throttle body to it or something stupid like that, which maybe I will, because honestly, when I do, like, if you go on eBay, they're on eBay, but people want $150, $160 for one of those freaking throttle bodies. I'm like, this is
because it's on eBay and they've taken the time to like take it off, list it, all that shit. That I understand that makes
$150 for some like weird BMW cable throttle body that doesn't work for anything produced in the last 25 years.
Oh, right, because people use them.
That's exactly why, though.
Because they're never gonna sell it until that one guy is like, "Fuck, I need."
Yeah, but there are a ton of them on eBay too. So I don't get it. But
so start hitting them all with offers for $60 and see what happens.
I should do that. Just find all the make an offer or best offer ones and just throw them out there.
Do you get in trouble when like they make an offer back, a counter offer, or accept it and you don't buy it? Because I've had that happen a bunch of times and it just kind of hangs out.
You just
there.
Decline it.
Well, you can't cancel. Like, there's no like
if they accept your offer.
Then you have to buy it?
Yeah.
I've definitely not bought it. And it sits there for like a month and then disappears.
They could leave you negative feedback.
No.
Yeah.
So if you care about that, then whatever. Then if you don't care about that, then it doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, because if you offer three people at once and two accept, you're like, well, I'm not buying a bunch of these. Yeah. So
maybe you shouldn't offer too many at once, then, Mike.
I'm trying to get shit done.
I'm with you.
Yeah,
I'm
I don't have time to waste.
Interesting. On to you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was on motor. I just interrupted, so sorry.
That's fine. Yeah. I didn't do a ton in the home garage. I did make the upper link for the X5 because I have my bender there. So I did the 1¾-inch 188 wall double bend situation. Ooh. So, and that's the little guy.
Yeah.
So took some time, like the extra long notch, probably like 12 inches of notch because of the way it had to go. God. So. And then like a good 6-8 inches on the other side.
You did an old angle grinder eyeball situation.
Yep.
There. Yeah.
And just kind of sneak up on it. And I oversnuck on one side a little. And I wanted to TIG it. So I figured that out. Luckily, it's thick enough stuff where I can I can take that gap.
Yep.
So
shove the filler wire in there. Yeah. Full throttle.
Oh, yeah. I used the big wire at work, like the 3/16 or whatever. Like you never use that stuff.
No.
This is the case.
Yeah.
You're trying to
turn it up to 11 and use the big stuff.
I had it pinned at like 175, just like jamming that giant rod in there. Worked out good though.
That's the man, just not like notches. Like, I know notches like that you're never going to do on, doesn't matter how nice of a notcher you have, but it does suck. Like, even the Harbor Freight one, which works fine, that you can only do like at most what, like 30 degrees of a notch or something like that.
And then you have to like, you don't have a hole saw that deep regardless.
No, yeah, so. Exactly. I mean, I specifically buy the long ones, but most of the time, like the biggest depth you can get is like 2 inches or something anyhow. So like, yeah, that's probably only enough for 15, 20 degrees. So
So then you have to notch it, take it out, cut that piece off, and keep going. Like, nah.
Yeah.
So I've gotten pretty good with doing it by eye. I'm usually pretty close on that, but it is just like a ton of seat time trying to figure that out. You get the eye for it, and like you can do that long of a notch, it's almost a straight cut, so it's not that big of a deal. It's just like right at the end where it turns the tube again, where it's trying to intersect, you have to grind a little. But so whatever, that's burnt in with the double adjuster thing, which I kind of came into at a goofy angle and had to do some shenanigans, so shouldn't go anywhere. Then I revalved the shocks on the 944 again today, because it was pretty close, but not quite close enough. So
this was all just with bounce testing it.
It was bounce test. Yesterday was the first time I drove it.
Okay.
So yeah, drove it decent. Like bigger hits, like that jump and stuff, it'll kind of porpoise a little bit. So tried to thicken some shit up in there, and we'll see what happens. But okay. Otherwise, it was close. Yeah, like the rear's too soft, so it was kind of like
okay,
like a porpoise would swim.
Is that those are double adjustable though, right?
They are not adjustable. Well, I mean, they are internally adjustable.
Okay, no external adjustments.
Zero external adjustments. Okay. The fronts are. So, I mean, they're infinitely adjustable.
Well,
but with some labor involved, it takes about an hour.
Yeah.
So they're back in the car. I have to like finish bolting everything up, but try that again. I did forget how fun that car is, because this is the first time it hasn't been like super sketchy to get on the power, because the rear was way too soft before. And like, I remember the first time I floored it when I put it together.
Well, that's fun.
I nearly crashed it. I was like mortified.
How much power did you make in that?
530 wheel.
Okay.
At 18, 19 pounds, something like that. So it did stuff. But I don't know. That's on 93. So nice. Maybe it's safe, maybe it's not. Who knows? Not dead yet. And I ordered a new power thing from Bosnia for the Raspberry Pi Dash.
Oh, yeah. Bosnia.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So I did some more Google foo. No, it's, I don't know. It shipped. Okay. But I don't have it yet.
Yeah. So. No, I guess I'm just going to throw away the one I bought too. I have no idea. So.
Yeah. I gave up on that thing. I searched around and now there's a couple more offerings.
Are there?
So
cool.
I didn't realize it was so far away, but it was like $45, something like that. Like, because I bought like a power supply. I was about to do some goofy relay stuff.
Yep.
I'm like, let me look again.
That's what I did.
It's been about a year since I searched for that other one.
It's like a renewed
ability
to try.
Yeah. So did that. Hopefully that works now, because that'd be nice to see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I just have no idea. It just has no info. Like, I have a wideband. Otherwise, I have no idea what's going on.
That's not good.
Yeah.
It works.
It works.
Made power.
Yeah, well, then I knew what was going on. I had the laptop, but trying to drive around is a different story.
Yeah.
Got to drive around with the laptop on the passenger seat.
I've been there. It's,
yeah.
That's how you crash, man.
That was my life.
Yeah. You can't look too close. I've had some moments. There's some mailboxes that have nearly gone over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that shit will get you. But what else I did to that thing? I threw an intercom in it, too. One of the headset doodads.
Yeah.
So I haven't installed it in the helmet or anything yet, but ran the wiring for it, gave it the old test drive, just holding the things up to my ears. But it works. It's kind of neat.
Cool.
Hopefully that works, because it's loud.
One step of safety at a time?
One step. Well, most of the safety's there now, or all the safety, other than...
You safety.
Yeah, it's just the stuff that I have to wear now. So, fire suit, Hans.
They had one on clearance at Summit.
Fire suit?
A suit, yeah.
I updated stuff. I don't know if I mentioned anything about that before, but bought a new suit because my other one was like way too small between my shoulders and my crotch. So like I couldn't
full Borat
bend over. It was just like awkward, but I dealt with it because that's what I had.
Yeah.
And the medium for the race coupes, like the sleeves were beyond my hands. The small was like a normal length. I'm like, okay.
Huh.
So I got a Sparco one for like $300.
Oh, that's not bad.
And it fits way better.
Yeah, I've heard that the race coupons are just like baggy and goofy and
yeah.
I don't know.
I spent another $300 on a Hans.
Really? That's cheap for Hans.
$350 maybe.
So with the brackets and stuff, for the helmet stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. Most of them come with that. Usually those little studs are pricey.
Everyone I've seen comes with the studs. But
a couple of shoes. Shoes are now required for Erie. Those are like $110. Okay. And then that seat.
Nice.
For safety. That Momo seat, the Halos, is like $7-something.
Yeah.
$7.50.
That's twice it's really not as bad. Much.
That's not that bad. I bought those for mine.
You look at any other Halo seat, that's...
Yeah.
And they're comfy for what they are. Yeah, like those
very squishy on the bottom in comparison to the the starts.
Mm-hmm. Well, even the starts aren't bad. Like, it's a pretty comfortable entry level seat. Like, yeah. Most things around that price point kind of suck. But
yep. Yeah,
I tried the Halo thing in mind. His door frame doesn't fit, so you can't get in or out very easily.
I'm surprised it's not required.
FIA seat doesn't.
So. Yeah, I'm also surprised it's not required.
Honda's required, you're though.
Bouncing around a lot more.
Yeah, but that's the forward
I mean, back. It's tethered. I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't do much for your left right.
Okay. That's not enough, I guess.
I guess.
I don't know.
We'll find out.
Yeah. Hopefully, no.
Or, yeah, or you won't. No, that's, will not yeah, find that's out. Not.
Nobody's, yeah, nobody wants to find that out.
No, not at all. But that's about all I've done.
Already.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, guys, it's like officially the start of spring.
Hopefully, you can do stuff. I am
appreciating the sunlight.
So hopefully the weather clears out soon. We can get a Brapplebee's going. Oof.
It's going to rain for the next like 2 weeks.
Yeah, I saw that.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, rain, snow, a warm day here and there, but rain.
Gonna be muddy.
Yeah.
Perfect time to ruin Kevin's yard. Let's go.
Yeah.
But on that note, stay tuned for next week's episode.
If we can record it.